I've ever had is actually quite a difficult thing to decide because of my vivid imagination. But I would have to say the dream that really stands out for me is one that I had of me and my school friends fighting ninjas in a desert. Now usually that doesn't really seem too weird, but this dream went on for 4 nights straight. And at the time I was really struggling with the flu.
I've got a cough.
It's the only time my body has ever reacted in such a way that it was playing with my subconscious as well as what was going on physically. But I took it as a sign that my body was fighting the illness, and as soon as I got better, the dream went away. Bizarre, but helpful at the same time.
Much, Elliot. It's great to see what Elliot has in the back of his incredible brain. This series, as we've already spoken about, it's all about living the dream. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at that subject, living the dream. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be examining the life of Joseph. That's not the Joseph as in Mary and Joseph from the New Testament. This is Joseph from the Old Testament. What I want you to do is I want you right now in the comments, as many of you as can, this is not a trick question. This is a simple, easy question. If you're used to church, you've got a good chance at this. I want you to write down in the comments what we know about Joseph. So what marks Joseph out as special and unique? Put that in the comments and then I'll speak about it later on. Because this whole thing with dreams, I really appreciate Elliot's candor in sharing with us, but actually we're not going to be speaking just about the kind of dreams that you have after a night that's disturbed, or when you've got a high temperature, or when you've eaten too much cheese. We're talking about the kind of dream that we all have. And right now, dreams is a really important, powerful thing to speak about. In fact, this message would be good at any point. And this is the kind of message and series that we would do at any time in our history. But right now, we need to hear about dreams more than we've ever heard about dreams, and more than we've ever needed to hear about dreams. I said last week that I was speaking to someone, and they said, when I used to think about my life, I used to think everything is possible. Now, I look at my life and I feel like everything is impossible. Coronavirus has made things impossible. It's made things untenable. It's made things unbearable. It's put careers on hold. It's crashed relationships. It has thrown up in the air all the hopes and desires that we have. And the fact of the matter is that we all have dreams. Dreams are an intrinsic part of the human spirit. Now, I don't know what your dreams are. Many of you have dreams. Your dreams is one day to meet the perfect person and to make sweet relationship with them. Others of you may have a dream to have a fantastic career, to climb the career ladder. You may have a dream that one day you'll own an incredible house, a stupidly big house with a stupidly big kitchen and stupidly big TV, a stupidly big wife, and that is your dream. You might have a dream just simply to crush your enemies beneath your feet, but we all have dreams. And what is a dream? This is the definition of a dream that I want us to hold over this time. A dream is a picture of a perfect future. Let me say that again. A dream is a picture of a perfect future. Someone write that down in the comments. Everyone else like that. Because a dream isn't just the kind of thing where I have a few weird subconscious thoughts rattling around my brain. But a dream, in the way that we're going to be talking about it, is the picture of a perfect future. I hope for a future. And if there was a perfect future, it would look like this. If there was a perfect future, this is how it would take shape. This is what I would do. This is what my life would look like if everything could just be the way that I dream that it could be. And what coronavirus does is it shows us that our dreams are so fragile. Some of you, you're literally wallowing in the wreckage of broken dreams right now. But we want to talk about the God-given dream. And the reason that we're focusing in on Joseph is someone who had a dream and then fulfilled that dream. And the Bible's very good at showing us the sweep of his life as he went through different challenges and struggles and stages. But the dream that he had when he was 17 years old was fulfilled in a spectacular way. And I'm here to tell you, whether you have faith, whether you're finding faith, coming back to faith, I'm here to tell you that God has dreams for you. And these dreams are not fragile. These dreams are not at the whim of circumstances. These are dreams that can be fulfilled. You can experience God bringing your dreams to fruition. And so we're going to look at Joseph. We're going to see what happens with his life. We're going to look at the way in which he has a dream and then he begins to fulfill the dream. The whole backstory of Joseph, just to give you a little bit of an idea, is around about 1700 years before Christ. So we're talking about the kind of the mid to late Bronze Age. And the remarkable thing about Joseph is that he is featured in the book of Genesis, but he actually takes up 25% of the whole book of Genesis. And if you know your Bible, then you'll know that Genesis is perhaps one of the most important books in the entire Bible. It's literally the book of foundations and beginnings and origins, the thing that paints the framework around which God is going to move in human history. And Joseph takes this huge chunk up in it. So let's read from the book of Genesis and see what it says about Joseph. This is the story. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And he brought their father a bad report about them. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his brothers because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of corn out in the field, when suddenly my sheave rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered round mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Now, this thing with Joseph, it's a dream that God gives him. And this is not just, I have an aspiration. This is not just, I have a picture of a perfect future that I've come up with. This is the fact that God can speak to you through dreams. If you're not used to faith, if you're not used to church, you need to hear this idea that actually God is able to speak to you through dreams. God is able to communicate. And what we have in the book of Genesis, like I said, it's 1700 years before Jesus is born. It's 200 years before Moses comes on the scene. 2 to 250 years before Moses. And before then, it's oral history of the people of Israel that's carried out. It's spoken from ear to ear. And then Moses comes and he writes it down. But you just need to understand the context of this, that there is no Bible. There's no Jewish nation. There's no law. There's no Ten Commandments. How do you know how God wants you to live? Well, in Genesis, you see the most pure form of God relating to human beings because he relates without any religious structure whatsoever. He speaks directly to these individuals. He reveals himself directly to these individuals. He walks with them. He talks with them. He holds them in relationship. And that is great news for those of you that are still looking to find faith, because it means you don't need to worry so much about whether you've got all the religious niceties down pat. Actually, God is so well able to speak to you and to reach out to you because he's always about relationship. And one of the ways in which God speaks to the people in Genesis is through dreams. That God could inspire a person's dreams. Let me ask you a question. How many of you here watching today have ever had a dream that you know was inspired by God? Write it in the comments. Let us know about that. I, in my life, I've had maybe a few more times in my whole life where I've had a dream that has been so powerful, so profound, that I have been aware that God has been speaking to me. I had one dream when I first met Kate. Someone's waving at me.
Look at Caleb,
okay. I had a dream where I'm speaking. I met Kate. She becomes this incredible woman. She's fantastic. She's godly. She's a fox. And I was so desperate. I mean, it's like she took a hold of my heart, ripped it out of my rib cage, and just took hold and possession of it. I managed to get a date with her. And in this date, I spoke to her, asked her, got her. I thought we had a great evening together. But at the end of it, she just said, "Look, can't we just be friends?" So I was literally friend-zoned by Kate. And then the worst thing was, a couple of days later, I got to speak to her best friend, because the best friend Kate herself wouldn't speak to me at all. And the best friend told me, actually, Kate's found someone and she's really, really happy with them. And she's now going out with this guy. And my heart was totally broken. But that night, I went to sleep and I had a dream. And in my dream, Kate and I were driving in a car together. I was driving the car. Kate was in the passenger seat. We were at some traffic lights. These guys suddenly from nowhere came around. There was three guys. They gathered around me. And they started trying to get into the car. And I had Kate with me and I had to protect her. So I started putting all the knobs on the car locks down. And these guys couldn't get in, and I was just getting to each one in turn, stopping them from getting into the car. And then suddenly the traffic lights went from red to green. I put my foot down to move ahead with Kate. But as I drove the car along, suddenly nothing happened. Nothing happened. And then I looked outside of the car windows, and to my horror, these guys were holding the car back. Supernaturally, they were stopping it from moving forward. But I just kept pushing down on the accelerator, pushing my foot down to the floor, and then eventually the whole thing started to move forward. And I began to see, oh my goodness, we've gone forward and there's a green light. And I realized it was one of those things. It sounds like a crazy stress dream, but it was actually a dream where I figured out that God was speaking. And what God was saying is, there are other people trying to stop this relationship happening, but I've given you the green light. Keep pushing on. I spoke to the best friend about it, and she said, "That's crazy, Philip." She said, "Do you realize that when Kate went out with you, she went out with three other guys at the same time?" I mean, Kate was so popular with the boys, it was like when you go into the post office and they give you a little ticket and you have to wait your turn. And she actually went on four dates over four consecutive nights with four different people. And I was number four. There was the hotshot vicar, there was the flash businessman, and then there was a guy who, quite frankly, he never stood a chance. And then there was me. And it was crazy, because actually, in that time, I didn't see her for 2 months. She wouldn't see me. She wouldn't speak to me. She rebuffed my advances. But I kept going for it. I kept believing in it, because I believed that God had given me a dream. And when God gives you a dream, you see something supernaturally. We've been now together, making each other's dreams come true happily for the last 26 years. But God gives Joseph a dream. And there's two things that Joseph can teach us about dreams. And the first one is this: a dream is just for you. Everyone say, "Just for you."
Just for you.
Okay, let's see how you get on with the comments. Okay, right. Eloise Twyford, Emily Toogood, and Adam Bullivant said Technicolor coat. Very good. Elliot Lever says, "I closed my eyes, drew back the curtain." That guy, the musical theater nut. So that is the thing that people know about Joseph, that he had this Technicolor dream coat. The Bible says that Joseph was given by his father an ornate coat. Now, old-fashioned translations of the Bible say it's a coat of many colors.
But the more modern translations that we have say that it was either a long sleeve coat or it was a coat that was a full length coat. And listen, we don't need to go into what the original word is or what it means. But what you just need to know is that this word just means that he was wearing a special cloak, a special jacket. It was something that was given to royalty. And it was something that denoted that he had unusual leadership ability. That this was someone that was put above everybody else that he had to oversee. And what you get with Joseph is you get this thing of he has a dream that he's in leadership. He has a dream that he has responsibility. He has a dream that he has influence. But the reality is that he has a coat that denotes what everybody else knew. That Joseph was uniquely, incredibly equipped to be in leadership position. And the dream that God gives to Joseph is very much in line with the character and the nature of the gifts, the talents, the qualities that God has given him. In other words, God has a dream for you that fits you. You may not think that you're as good as the person next to you. You may not think that you have anything particularly noteworthy or special. But God's dream for you is so powerful that he can use you because he's given you gifts. With Joseph, he had this coat that said, this is someone who is just uniquely qualified to lead other people. And everyone saw it. Some of you, you have that thing. You have certain gifts, abilities, qualities, and talents. And for some reason, you just find yourself in a situation where you're just always in charge. You're always in control. Leadership is just something that people look to you all the time. Even when you go into a situation, you might be the youngest. You might not be the formal leader. But people just gradually, generally, naturally look to you to provide a lead for them. We have individual gifts. For some of you, you're the kind of person that always puts people at ease. You're great at bringing a community together. For some of you, you're good at big picture thinking. It's just the way that you are. You can think and you can see trends and you can spot the way that things are working out. Others of you, it's the opposite. You're better at fine detail. You're great at problem solving. We have Matt Price on the team, and he just has this natural, innate ability to look at something and figure out how you could do that so much better if you change that, tweak this, and brought this in. It's just something that God has given him. And what Joseph does and what he embodies is this idea that the gifts and the dream that God has for you is just for you. It's tailor-made to you. Every single one of us has gifts, abilities, and something that you can bring to the table. And so when Paul speaks to the Romans, in chapter 12 in Romans, he says this, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." Everyone say, each of us. "If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to give encouragement, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, if it's reading, then read. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." And what Joseph embodies is that all through his life, even when he was young, his father and other people could say, actually, this guy has got innate leadership. And so what is his dream? Well, it is a dream of leadership. It's a dream of making things better. The Bible says that when Joseph sees his brothers and he goes to visit them as they're shepherding their flocks, he's able to give a bad report of some of what the brothers are doing because he can see it's a bit like Matt Price. He says, actually, you could do this so much better if that was different, or you should tweak this, or actually, that's a really inefficient way. And there's just something innate about Joseph. Why? Because it's his God-given gift. And Paul says, each of us has God-given natural innate abilities. You have an ability to do something. And it's part of the dream that God has given you. What we're going to be doing in our hubs over this next week is we're actually going to get hubs together and we're going to examine what is your dream? What is a particular thing that you are good at? What's your qualities? What are your abilities? And we're going to just dig into that. Because if you feel like, actually, I don't know what my dream is, I don't know what God wants me to do with my life, a simple place to start is asking the question, what are you good at? What has God made you good for? And as we begin to see the qualities and the talents and the gifts that God has given us, you can begin to dig into what God has for you in the first place. You may not get lots of dreams, you may not get visions in the night, but you can have a sense of, actually, I'm always drawn to this. I always enjoy meeting new people, or I'm really great at taking care of people, or I've got a great mathematical brain or a scientific brain, or I'm brilliant at entertaining and putting people at ease. But there's something about the way that God has made you that He's given you unique gifts and abilities, and that's part of God's given dream. Your God-given dream fits you like a glove. It's just for you. But there's something else that happens with Joseph. And there's something else about his dreams. There's something that his dreams tell us about the nature of how God moves in our lives. Let's read on in Genesis. It says this. Then Joseph had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his fathers as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. The second thing that dreams speak to us about, the second thing that we need to hear about dreams, is that dreams are not just for you, but they're bigger than you. Everyone say, bigger than you. Your dream, say it, someone write it in the comments, like it, emoji, carry it. Your dreams are bigger than you. A God-given dream is bigger than you. You know that you have a dream that's from God because it's more than just about you. It's about something greater. Here's another question for the comments. Who in the book of Genesis had more dreams than anybody else? Someone try and answer that and throw the answer in the comments really quickly, because I'm going to come to it and I'm going to give you the answer in just a second. But there's something about Joseph's dream. The second time, it's a similar dream said with slightly different words. And yet this dream, it gets into Jacob's head. And the Bible says that Jacob kept it in his mind. Other translations say that Jacob considered it carefully. Why is that? It's because when Joseph gave this dream, and he talked about the sun and the moon, and he talked about the stars bowing down, and Jacob says, are your brothers going to bow down? Suddenly, something goes on. A light bulb switches on in his mind, because Jacob himself had a dream. He had a picture of a perfect future that God gave him. It wasn't in a dream, but it was in a blessing. That's another way, a prophetic blessing. It's another way the Bible paints a picture of a perfect future. This is God's intention for you. A picture that He's given, a blessing that it's given. And Jacob is given a blessing by his father, Isaac. He gets it in an underhand way. But Isaac gives him this blessing nonetheless, a picture of a perfect future. And Isaac says to him, one day all your brothers are going to bow down to you. And that never, ever happened. In fact, Jacob only had one brother, and that brother was Esau. And yet Jacob has this idea. He has a dream. He's been given a thing from God that says, you're going to be given a position of such responsibility that all your brothers are going to bow down to you. He only has one brother. And then suddenly his son, Joseph, is saying the same thing. He's saying, my brothers, they're going to bow down to me. And Jacob suddenly realizes, I get this. I understand this. This that my son is talking about is the dream that God gave for me. Suddenly Jacob's dream is bigger than Jacob. Jacob's dream is part of God's plan for all of humanity. Sam's saying that Ali, Rose, and Chloe are saying Pharaoh had the most dreams. It's good. Adam, Moses, no, he's not in there. Who else has had a go? I can see Elliot, good old Elliot, Abraham. Actually, the answer is Jacob. No one has more dreams than Jacob. Jacob has the famous dream, the Jacob's ladder at Peniel, where he sees a ladder extending to heaven and angels coming and descending upon it. He has a dream where God speaks to him about the flocks and about his need to move away from Laban's company. And then he has a dream, a famous dream, at his old age, at the end of the story of Joseph, where he has a dream that he will be taken to Egypt, that God will be with him, he'll become a great nation, and then God will bring him back. He has a dream of Beersheba. But Jacob has these dreams, and on top of those dreams, he has these blessings given over him. And what Joseph is doing is Joseph is just fitting into a bigger narrative that God has for the whole people of Israel. That Joseph's dreams are bigger than Joseph himself. And that's what you need to hear. You need to hear that God's dreams for your life are bigger than you. In fact, we said that the book of Genesis was a book of beginnings and origins and foundation. And actually what Genesis is God's dream for humanity. Genesis is God's picture of a perfect future. We see at the very beginning of Genesis, God creating humanity, creating the cosmos, making it good. And then God's dreams being thwarted by human evil and rebellion and rebellion of supernatural beings. And so all through Genesis, you have God bringing back that dream of how he wants to bring people back into intimate relationship with himself. That God's going to take an individual and make a promise to them. That's Abraham. And he's going to use that person's descendants so that they become a mighty nation. And through that nation, a savior is going to come who's going to bring salvation to the world and reconcile human beings back to God the Father. And when you see Joseph, actually what you're seeing is not just one individual doing his own individual life, but you see someone who is actively mirroring and modeling who Jesus is going to be. If you look at the similarities between Jesus and Joseph, they're amazing. It's like God says, this is who Jesus is going to be. Let me give you a little picture of it in the life of Joseph. Let's look at those things right now. Both Jesus and Joseph were the beloved son of his father, both betrayed and denied by his brother, both blameless yet falsely accused, both cast down into captivity, Joseph to prison, Jesus to the tomb, both raised miraculously to incredible power and authority, both forgave and blessed their enemies, both brought salvation to the whole world. And of course, both had hit Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals. The parallels between Jesus and Joseph are really quite profound, because what Joseph is doing is he's keying into something bigger. And here, as individual Christians, we have a God-given dream, and it's just for you. Don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. God's dream for you cannot be thwarted. If you trust him, he can make that into fruition. He can make that come into being. Don't worry. God has a dream just for you. But at the same time, understand and recognize that God's dream is so much bigger than you. That God has a dream for your life, which is so much more, that it's part of what God is doing in the cosmos. When we started Metro, we did it because God gave us a dream of what he wanted to do. And so we were obedient to that. About 1 year in, at the time when I was at my most discouraged, because it's hard starting a brand new church, a woman came in. And she said, I have a dream for you. God's given me a picture of your perfect future. And she began to speak prophetically. And she said, Philip, she said, you may think you know why Metro started. You may think you know why you started this church. But actually, it started in the heart of God a long time ago, because God heard the heartbeat, the heart cry of the city. And he raised up a church to join with other churches to transform this city. And if you're part of this community, then God has a God-given dream for you, just for you. Fits your gifts, fits your character, fits your circumstance, your network of relationships. You're in exactly the right position for God's dream for you. But God has a dream that's even bigger. You're part of a bigger thing. And that's why when Paul talks about the gifts that each one of us has, he says it's in service of a bigger body, the body of Christ. And ultimately, God has a plan for each one of us, which is transcendent. It's eternal. That's why Paul spoke to the Ephesians, and he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." In other words, God's dream for you is to be like Jesus. God's dream for you is one of glory and power and incredible, awesome experience. That God has this preferred future where he's going to do amazing, wonderful things through you. That God's going to use you as part of his plan to restore the whole cosmos, to bring reconciliation to all of creation that's broken and groaning under the weight of oppression. That God wants to bring justice and God wants to bring mercy into our world. God wants to bring paradise and heaven back into our reality. This is a dream that we're part of. Now, next week we're going to follow Joseph. This is just an introduction. You just need to know from this week that God's given plan, the God-given plan for you is just for you, and it's bigger than you. And next week we're going to see how Joseph, his dream costs him so much, that his dream will make him suffer so much. And we're going to look over the next few weeks, how does that dream work out in reality, in practice? And we're going to go on a journey together. How does that affect my work, my career, my vocation, all these different things? But right now, what I want you to do is this. I want you to ask yourself the question, am I willing to accept God's dream for my life? Some of you, you've actually lost that sense that God has a dream for you. It's been taken from you. And actually, some of you, you're watching a little bit on the outside, looking in. And there's something that's growing in your heart that says, if God has a dream for me, if I have value and worth and significance, then I want to hear it for myself. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And we're going to ask that God would help us and he would open our hearts. I'm going to pray and ask that the dream that has been taken from you would be restored. I'm going to pray for those of us who kind of forgotten about the dream, or we've just got a little bit, I guess, used to the idea of faith, but we've lost the idea of transcendent purpose and dreams, that God will give it back to us, that he would increase it, or that he would give it to you in the very first instance. So let's pray. Dear God, I thank you. I thank you for the life of Joseph. I thank you for everything that we're going to learn about the life of Joseph. I want to pray, dear Father, that you would speak to us and that you'd encourage us. I want to pray for those of us that feel that everything in our life is impossible right now. Lord, that you'd bring fresh hope. Lord, I want to pray for people that have never experienced the dream that you have for them. I want to pray, Lord God, that we begin to discover it together. I pray that as Hubs meets together this week, we'd be able to encourage one another and help to discern God's dream for each of our lives. I pray, dear Father, for those that are on the outside looking in, not knowing you, feeling far from you. Lord, I want to pray that you would gently open their hearts up to you. I thank you that you're a God that has dreams for all your children. And Lord, we don't want to live lives under dreams that are not worthy of us. We want to seek out the dream that you have for us. So I want to pray, dear God, that you reveal yourself and introduce people to the idea of that dream for the very first time. In the name of Jesus, amen.